Take your Bibles this evening. Turn to the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 12, weeks ago we had started with the fourth point in this 12th chapter, sin deprives of our comforts. We looked at that thought, and we titled our message last week, Fear the Lord. It was something that Israel forgot to do. They've been forewarned of this. They've been forewarned what will come to pass. We looked at that forewarning in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. And then we looked at Deuteronomy, chapter 10, and verse 12, where they were to fear the Lord. They were to fear Him. They were to love Him. Love Him with all their heart, soul, and mind. And we brought that over to us today. We're to fear the Lord. Same commandment that He gave Israel, we're to fear the Lord. And remember, we approached it from the standpoint that if we have fear for the Lord, a holy fear, a reverential fear, will produce in its subjects obedience. Be ye holy, for I'm holy, He said. And it will produce in us a striving and a laboring in all that we do to be holy. Well, that's a very important and very needed message, and in some ways I could preach it again. Because have I learned it? Have you learned it? It's something that we need to constantly be reminded of.
Yes, amen.
We talk about loving the Lord. And yes, I love the Lord. We said, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, and I think it's about verse 2. He says that we say we love the brethren. When that verse, he says, this is how we know that we love the brethren. When we keep His commandments. When we obey His commandments. So So it's needful for us today, needful for us to be reminded and be reminded often. But now as we think about the thought and that we had that sin deprives of comforts, and certainly as we see in the forecast in the sign which Ezekiel was to show, eating their bread with quaking and drinking their drink and trembling and anxiousness. That was depicted. It was depicted to us back in, I believe, the fourth chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Remember, there he was to measure out his bread. He was to measure out his water. And when you looked at the substance of the bread, the amount of bread, the amount of food, and the amount of water, wasn't enough to survive on. And thus, many died. And as the Bible called it, famine. That famine wasn't a famine brought on by the heaven rain being shut up from heaven, but it was a famine brought on by the siege, which in the first part of that fourth chapter, he was to depict a siege of the city, and the city being under siege and being shut up, and they blocked off the water and blocked off the food source and supply. And when the food run out, there'd be nothing to eat. So they had to go to rationing it out. I'm not old enough to remember the rations of World War II. Brother Ron probably remembers somewhat of the rationing in World War II. But not always, this brings us to our point tonight, but not always is this the case. And I've titled this message tonight, "Don't Be Jealous of the Wicked." Because you see, not always is that the case where the wicked, where sinners have little to eat, have little of this life's goods. It's quite often the other way. Yes. We find that the secular world has prosperity. Many wicked men have much prosperity. People all around you, wicked. You would say, and I would say, they're prospering much better than we are in this world's goods.
Amen.
In this world's goods. You see, sin, wickedness, and secular prosperity have often gone hand in hand. Turn with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 3. Way of example, not 3, chapter 13. Although we could go to chapter 3, couldn't we? Didn't Adam and Eve have it all? Of course, that wasn't sin. That was before sin arrived, and when sin arrived, they lost it all. Let me see. But chapter 13 of the book of Genesis, let me get there. I was talking about 3 and went to 3. Genesis chapter 13, You recall that Abram and Sarah, a lot with him. Famine was in the land, and they went down into Egypt. And it seems as though while they were down in Egypt, they prospered. Because when they left Egypt, came back up out of Egypt, they had much herds, much cattle. Verse 5 says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." I mean, their substance was so great, the land wouldn't contain both of them, wouldn't provide for both of them. Now you might say that Abram and Lot amassed that in disobedience, in unbelief. They certainly weren't trusting the Lord when they left the land that the Lord showed him and said, "I'm going to give this land to you and to your seed." He's worshiping God at Bethel. Famine comes, he leaves Bethel and begins to journey to the south, down towards Egypt, down towards the world. Devises a lie to protect himself, and he might have made the argument to protect his wife, but it was primarily to protect himself. "Lest they kill me and take you," is what he said. But he came up out of Egypt. And Lot with him. And whenever you leave the Lord, you got to go back to the place that you left him. He left him at Bethel. And he had to go back there. And he went back there. We find him going back there and worshiping the Lord. Amen. Build an altar and offer sacrifices unto the Lord. We have no record of Lot doing such a thing. And it was the herdmen of Lot that strove with Abram's herdmen. And Abram said, "We be brethren. This thing is not good. We have the host of the people all about us looking on and witnessing our behavior." There's a lesson in it for you and I in that. That's not the message tonight. Well, Abram says to Lot, says, "You choose the high road or the low road, and whichever you choose, I'll take the other. Whether it's the high road or the low road." Abraham was gracious, wasn't he?
Amen.
Was gracious. Verse 10. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan." He didn't lift up his eyes unto God. He didn't lift up his eyes unto the Lord. But his eyes were set upon the things of the world. You see, his trip down into Egypt had done a number on him. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. How plentiful was it? Even as the garden of Eden, the garden of the Lord. Even as the plain Zoar in Egypt. You, if you're a businessman, you can just see the dollar signs rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is the place. This is the place. I'm going to prosper here. Then many have been drawn away by that. That's the way of the world. That's the way the world thinks. Christians ain't ought to think that. They ought to ask the Lord, is it your will that I go here or there or yonder? Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That's where Lot pitched his tent. That's where Lot chose to dwell. Towards the wickedness. Oh, but it's a prosperous place. It's a place I can really prosper. See, how many Christians, so-called, have made that kind of error? Well, don't be jealous of Lot and his prosperity, because you know the outcome. In the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, he lost it all. He lost it all. He lost his sons and his daughters, lost his wife, and ended up committing incest with his two daughters that were left. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms. Chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73. Listen to the psalmist here. This is a psalm of Asaph. Listen to the words. Listen to the words from the Lord. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Now listen to what he said. The Lord's been good. But as for me, I almost was gone. He's going to tell you why. For I was envious at the foolish. At the wicked. That's just another term for the wicked. The foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he was envious of the wicked. How often are we envious of the wicked? For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. See that? They don't seem to have the troubles that I have. They don't seem to have the troubles that Brother Ron has. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. I mean, they have more than your heart could wish for. Yeah, they got it made. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full eye or full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? In other words, they mock at the thought of God. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. How did he start that off in verse 3? I was envious of them. You see, he lost sight of something, didn't he? What did he lose sight of? Don't be envious of them just because they prosper in the things of this world. The day of judgment is coming for them, and where are they going to be then? What are those things going to profit them then? In the day of judgment. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous of the wicked and their prosperity. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, and we read a portion of this last week in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 25, or chapter 5, excuse me, in verse 25, God is pronouncing judgments against Israel, Judah, for their iniquities, for their sin, for their wickedness. He says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. Did you catch that? They've become great men, men of great stature, great position. They've waxed rich. They got a lot of goods, a lot of money, a lot of goods. They are waxing fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Listen, God had warned Israel of that very thing, lest you become fat when you've come into the land, lest you become fat and forget the Lord thy God. That's what he's charging them with here. They become fat. They had men of great stature, waxed rich. They become fat. And they did not give judgment for the fatherless and the poor. That sound familiar? That sound familiar? America chases this rabbit and that rabbit and every other rabbit, but they don't ever work towards coming up with a solution for the homeless, for the homeless vets, the ones who've gone and sacrificed and became what they've become in defense of our country and to promoting our interests. We could go on and on. And then you hear of things like shoving sick people with COVID and piling them all into the nursing home and killing off the constituents of the nursing homes. And then, because they killed so many thousands in the nursing homes, they pad their count a little bit so it don't look so bad on them. It's the kind of thing that we just read here that God is charging Israel with. Keep your finger there in chapter 5 and turn to chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of the judgments, of thy judgments. Lord, you're righteous, Jeremiah says. But let me talk to you about your judgment. He's got a complaint. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Lord, how comes they're prospering? Now you're righteous, but how comes they're prospering? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. He's saying, Lord, how come the wicked, how come those sinners, great sinners, are prospering so? Some might say Jeremiah had a just complaint. Jeremiah's word of prophecy was not heeded, was not believed. He was cast into prison into dungeon. Not given hardly anything to eat or drink. The water was all around him. He was like to die. And they raised him up out of there but kept him in prison in the court. Don't forget chapter 5 and verse 29. The Lord speaking says, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? You see, he charged them with becoming men of great stature, becoming rich, becoming fat. Charge them with improper judgments concerning the fatherless and the poor. He says, the day of visitation is coming. The day is coming when I'll visit them. and I will be avenged, the Lord said. Turn with me to one very familiar portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, in verse 19. You know this one. Luke chapter, what did I say, chapter 12? I want chapter 16. I'm sorry. I don't know where I come up with 12. That's not even what I got wrote down on my paper. Luke chapter 16 in verse 19. Now you know this account very well, don't you? There are some that like to call it a proverb. It's not a proverb. The Lord is relaying a very real situation, a very real message here. He said, there was a certain rich man. Notice, he was rich. Which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Oh, he had the life of ease. Everything he wanted, he had. He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. You see, there's two proofs that we know it won a parable. A certain rich man, even though he doesn't name him, but then he names Lazarus. There was a man named Lazarus, a beggar. He says, in parables, Jesus didn't name him. You see. Named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, the rich man's gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. He was a wicked rich man. Don't envy the wicked of their prosperity. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted. He's in a place of comfort. He's in a place of rest. Amen. For healing. For restoration. Not lacking for anything. And beside all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to yon, you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And you have to forgive me wanting to put in from yonder and betwixt. Just, that's a habit of saying that kind of thing when you're relaying the story and not doing it as written in Scripture. Don't be jealous of the prosperity of the wicked. Remembering The day of visitation is coming. The day of judgment is coming. Have compassion on their souls. Plead to the Lord for mercy for them. Plead that the Lord would be gracious and save them. You see, don't be jealous, envious of the good. You see, in each of these cases, prosperity preceded divine judgment. When judgment fell, there was a striking reversal of circumstances in each of the cases. I didn't want to be done tonight, but I've gone long enough right there. So we'll finish this. There's two other points under this point. It's not always so. Don't envy. Don't be jealous of the wicked. And the other two points will just kind of go on to show, even though they're prospering, the condition that they're in, the condition of sleep, the condition of slothfulness. You see, we'll deal with that, not next week, but 2 weeks from now, Lord willing.